Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Welcome to Yoga, Birth, Babies, a podcast produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. We will be diving into everything prenatal yoga, birth, and baby-related, hoping to inspire, educate, and empower you through your journey into motherhood. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Deb Flaschenberg, and I'm your host of Yoga Birth Babies, and today we're going to talk about midwives, and I will be very upfront. I think midwives are fantastic. They hold a very special place in my heart. My own births were attended by a midwife, so I think they're great. But let me tell you a little bit about what we're going to get into. So we're going to start with, what is a midwife and what are some of the biggest misconceptions around midwifery care, and what are the qualifications of a midwife, and how does a midwifery model of care differ from more of a traditional OBGYN model of care? We're going to talk about a midwife's involvement in labor and birth, who's a good candidate to work for a midwife. We got you covered on so many topics about midwifery. So if you had any doubt of what it is, by the end of this conversation, you will be crystal clear. So I have Casey Selzer to talk all about midwifery. Let me tell you a little bit about Casey. Casey is a midwife with over 15 years of clinical experience. She is a certified nurse midwife. She has worked with both private practice and public healthcare models, including hospital birth centers. She has a passion for education and has served as an adjunct faculty at the Columbia University School of Nursing, and started her own business, ParentCraft, educating in the perinatal space from the midwifery perspective. She is currently the Senior Director of Patient Programs at ULA. And Casey is so full of passion and so full of knowledge. I am really excited for you to hear her perspective and all her wonderful treats. Before we get to my conversation with Casey, I always like to give an update about Prenatal Yoga Center. So things are chugging along. We're well into the spring, and we are finishing off our final teacher training of, remember, when I say this year, I think in school year, because I have school year kids, school age kids, and that's what I think. So we're finishing off our March-April teacher training that's in person in New York City. And then in May, we have our online postnatal teacher training. Now, if you are somebody who is really excited about supporting the perinatal person and you want that education, check out Prenatal Yoga Center and look at our teacher training. We do it 3 times a year online because we have found we can reach so many people, and it's really flexible that way. And then once a year in person. And then the stuff happening at the studio, we still have online classes 7 days a week. We have in-studio classes 6 days a week. We have workshops online, on demand, in person. Again, we've got you covered. And then of course, we got the podcast. Now, I actually had some students having some suggestions for topics, which I love. So if you have a topic I haven't covered, or maybe even someone you think I should interview, send them my way. They can fill out an application on our website, or if there's a topic I haven't covered that you want me to cover, or maybe even just a different perspective, reach out to the studio and let me know who that is. I have one more ask of you besides telling me some topics you're interested in. When you have a moment, please take that time and leave a rating and review so people find us. It can just help expand this knowledge, because that's what this is about, supporting you. Education is power, knowledge is power. So if you can leave a rating or review, I'd appreciate that. And then, as always, a big thank you to you, the community, for showing up, for listening, for being part of the bigger Prenatal Yoga Center community. Thank you. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, please enjoy my conversation all about midwifery with Casey. Hi, Casey. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much. I am so excited to talk to you about midwifery. I feel like it's misunderstood. I feel like people don't know the difference between a doula and a midwife. Back when I was a doula, people were like, so you catch babies? I'm like, nope, should not be catching babies. So I'm really excited to dive into this topic. I guess before we get into kind of the nitty gritty of what a midwife does and all the different types of midwives or midwives, I'd love to learn a little bit more about you and what led you to midwifery.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I mean, it's funny to lead with kind of what is a midwife. Is all midwives, this is a question we will answer our entire career. So I'm just thrilled that that's where we're starting off today. So, you know, what led me to midwifery? I think a lot of people come to midwifery either with like a strong sort of creative background or a science background, like the art and science of midwifery. And I definitely came from the art side. I was a visual and performing artist. And I was also a farmer, interestingly, small-scale organic vegetable farmer before I found my way into birth work. It all makes sense to me now, you know, kind of creating things, right, is sort of the thread that links all those things together. But I, you know, when I was 16 years old, someone gave me my first copy of Spiritual Midwifery by Ina May Gaskin. And I was curious, to say the least, about like, wow, what is this all about? But the thing that really led me into midwifery is other midwives. I remember there was a course I took in college called Mothers and Daughters. And I met my first midwife in that course. And she spoke about how her career moved from working in birth work in the perinatal space to ending her career providing end-of-life care. And I thought, wow, this is really interesting to think about being with people in this way of kind of creating a safe space to support transitions throughout the entire lifespan. And I was so moved to like learn more about that. And so I also became a doula, which I think many midwives do in a way of learning and kind of entering this work and just getting into that energy and in the space with people. And so I became a volunteer doula working with a program supporting adolescent patients who didn't have any support in labor. That was my first experience attending birth. And I also worked for a community hospital program as a postpartum doula where patients were encouraged to go home early and you got free postpartum doula care.
Wow.
An incredible program. I know. And so all of these experiences kind of led me to meet more midwives, and a midwife sat me down and said, you know what, Casey, I see your hunger to kind of be part of really being impactful. And you need to go back to school and become a midwife. And I said, let me find out what it would take to do that. And so I moved to New York City to become a midwife and never left. I started out my career in public health here in New York City, and what an incredible place to be part of public health work. I learned so much. I worked at Bellevue Hospital, which had one of the first, one of the most incredible in-hospital birthing centers during my time there. And I think the drive for social justice is something that brings a lot of people to birth work, and this desire to be part of creating birth equity. And so that is something that has kept me in the work, that passion for bringing this model of care to more people and making midwifery more accessible. And part of that starts with this question of what is a midwife?
So let's keep going with that, because I think people get confused I had a traditional OBGYN for many years. You know, when I moved to the city when I was 23, and I picked my OB because of his location and his name. He happened to have the same first name as my grandfather. And I'm like, oh, that works. And he was off the Atrian. So
that
worked.
That.
And then as I got into birth work and as a doula, and he actually saw me at births when it was St. Luke's Roosevelt back then. So when it was time to have my own kids, I switched to a midwife. He was so understanding. He's like, of course you would. But when I was telling my family and my in-laws, like, we're going to have a midwife, they were just, they did not understand. They're like, well, you need a medically trained professional. I'm like, no, a midwife is. And they did not understand. So, and this wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
So let's dive into, what is a midwife?
It's a great question. So midwives are licensed, independent, advanced level clinical practitioners. And I think, I know we're going to get into kind of unpacking that doula versus midwife kind of conversation. But, you know, in New York State, we're either certified midwives or certified nurse midwives. And we all undergo the same national academic requirements, a master's level academic program and certification for licenses within this state. And we have equal practice authority. So, you know, midwives are trained in holistic healthcare, meaning that we see and listen and kind of understand our patients as whole people. And we lead with communication as our key strategy to really understand where our patient is coming from. Because there's, you know, it's so important to understand that birth doesn't happen in a vacuum, right? There's so many complex aspects of your culture, your community, your relationships, your values and belief systems that impact how you think about your birth experience, right? And so in midwifery, we're trained to kind of lean into that with a curiosity to understand where people are coming to this life experience from. And we're really experts in low-risk physiologic birth, right? But we operate under that understanding that there's this is a life event, right? That's a really unique, for the most part, normal life event. And of course, we're trained in our medical training to be able to identify medical risks. So we can kind of identify, okay, this is a within normal clinical parameters, and this is moving outside of normal. And that's how we're really skilled to know when to leverage that collaboration with our OB colleagues who are experts in the high risk medicalized surgical space. And this is how, you know, when we work together with our OB colleagues in this collaborative space, is really where we can make the safest and most meaningful experience for our patients. But that is sort of, you know, I think that's the basic misconception, as you said, is that we're not actually clinical providers. And in fact, we are. Sometimes I describe it to people as, you know, we are like a nurse practitioner of OB. And that kind of makes sense for people because people have heard that term more. Mm-hmm. And because there's so many misconceptions about midwifery that go back through history. And I can speak more to that, that I think that that's where there's a lot of like misnomers and myths out there about who we are and what we do.
Yeah, I definitely want to get to the misconceptions. But before we get into that, how would you describe more the model of care, how they differ from like how you would approach a birth perhaps differently than a traditional OBGYN model of care? Because it's interesting that I've met some midwives that are a little more conservative, and then I've met some OBs that actually seem to follow the midwifery model of care, and they do differ.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think it's important to go back to kind of the training, you know, because OBGYNs, as I mentioned, they are surgical experts, right? They are trained in pathology, medical complications, high risk care, complicated situations, right? That is like their core, like foundation coming into their clinical care. And because of the design of so many of these residency programs, and the reality of labor and delivery culture across the country, it's no fault of these eager, excited new residents, you know, but they're just not exposed to normal physiologic, unmedicated labor, you know, or, you know, laboring in different positions, for example. Like they might go through their whole residency and never see a labor without an epidural. And I think, you know, because of that, it impacts the way that they kind of approach their care and think about kind of how they manage that care plan. So that's something that we as midwives work really hard to change. I think midwives want to be part of the education of all new midwives and new residents so that we can kind of, you know, expose this different approach to kind of the care model. So when you think about it as a normal life event, that's when you can really center the patient in the experience and say, what do you need out of this? What does a satisfying birth look like for you? That might be different than what it looks like for me, right? As opposed to leading with thinking about all the different pathology that may be presenting at any any moment. We're still thinking about that as midwives, but in the way we communicate and make space for our patient, we're leading with their experience in terms of what it means for them to feel safe, to feel heard, and to feel their own sense of agency in making decisions and being at the center of that experience. Whereas the OBGYN is used to coming into the room, being the expert on making that clinical decision in a tough, complicated clinical case. And that's not what most births need. They really just need kind of a hands-off, safe space created where the patient can lead the experience.
Yeah, that's exactly. When I was writing this question in my mind, I'm like, it's really the management, how they approach the management. That was kind of, and that's kind of what you're saying too. But let's talk about that, the management, because I feel like the visits, and I know we'll talk about Ula where you work and how I know they're very special there and how you guys do your care. But when I was, gosh, this was a while ago, but when I was looking up your average OBGYN or at least OB, obstetrics prenatal visit, they said on average it was 7 minutes in and out. And that's quick. And I was thinking back to my prenatal visits with my midwife, and it was like 45 minutes. So there is a difference there. So what would a typical appointment look like for prenatal and postnatal? Because I know postnatal can also be a very quick in and out. Let's talk about birth control and on your way. So what would a typical midwifery prenatal, postnatal, because that's talking about making it more client-centered and how one manages that.
Absolutely. And when we talk about kind of like building trust and communication as being kind of that foundation of feeling safe and supported and empowered, you need time, right? You need time with your provider to get to know one another and create that relationship and having that continuity and having that those physical minutes of not being rushed. So, you know, for example, at ULA, the way that we do it is that we have an hour for our patients to enter into care with us. So it's 30 minutes with a midwife in a virtual visit, and then you come and see us in person for 30 minutes. And that's sort of like when you're fully integrated into our care system. So you have a full hour with us in two separate visits, as well as having care providers who are available for you through our portal 24/7 in between those visits, right? Because as much as the time matters in the visit itself, so much of pregnancy happens between visits, right? How many times have we been in a visit and we say, you know, we walk out of the office and it's like, you had that 7 minutes, you felt rushed, right? You walk out and you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot to ask all the things that were on my list. Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's something that's really important to us as midwives, is that our patients feel like they can reach out to us and get that support, whether it's during a clinical visit with more time or in between visits as well. So I think you just see more time built into the midwifery model of care, which is one of the things that's been challenging, I think, nationwide for figuring out how to really scale midwifery and bring it to more people. And that's where at ULA, we're trying to be innovative in terms of ways that we utilize tech and really build a collaborative care model that we can bring this model to more people. So, yeah, so I think there's more time there. You know, as far as the actual visits themselves and in the postpartum space specifically, you know, I think education is a thing that really differentiates midwifery overall. So, you know, really thinking about during your pregnancy, really being proactive and providing anticipatory guidance of what's going to come next, right? So not waiting to postpartum to talk about postpartum, because then you're in postpartum and then it's hard to learn, right?
Yeah.
And so, but thinking about, you know, in the third trimester, like what are the things that we need to set up for ourselves to feel safe and supported? What does holistic care look like in postpartum? It doesn't just look like, you know, physical healing. It doesn't just look like a plan for feeding our baby. It's actually like a lot of complex aspects of our mental health, of our financial health, of our, you know, our family unit. And, you know, I think that's why birth is kind of can be described as sort of a crisis moment for people, because every system is transitioning, right? So in midwifery, when you can kind of look at that whole experience as this is a major life transition, we can kind of then piece it apart and say, okay, here's what you kind of need to think about right now, and here's what's coming next, right? And kind of give you a little bit of guidance so that you're not on Google, like losing your mind, right, over like 9 months worth of education, but really think about like, what decisions do I need to make today? And what are the things that I really need to think about to set myself up to feel supported as I move into that postpartum space? One of the things that we've built at Oola is creating a drop-in, we call it our postpartum office hours, but it's a space to just drop in with questions anytime they come up and meet with one of the members of our clinical team. And I think that's just such a unique model because people just report feeling so isolated in postpartum, right? You give birth, it's a whirlwind, you go home. And the research shows that this is just an inadequate approach to not see a patient until 6 weeks, right? And so we're creating peer support opportunities to have touch points with our clinical team in the postpartum space so that patients stay connected, have that community, have that support, have that education and opportunity for referrals, whether you need more lactation support, maybe I need more mental health support, and really personalize that for each patient depending on their experience.
Well, I think you really touched on something about personalizing the experience. I want to keep going with that, but we're going to take a super quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about personalizing the actual birth and the midwife's involvement in that. Okay, we'll be right back. Okay, we are back. So full disclosure, my very first birth I attended as a doula happened to be with this amazing midwife. Her name was Sylvie Blaustein. And for the most part, Sylvie was sitting in the corner knitting in a rocking chair. She was just in the space. And it was my first birth. And I thought, okay, and my client had to be induced. So she had preeclampsia. So Sylvie was there. And I thought, oh, that is so nice. The care provider is just like part of the team the whole time. And then my next birth was not with the midwife. And I'm like, oh, where's the care provider? Why am I in this room alone? And why is the nurse just kind of popping in and out? And where is the care provider? Now, I also did work with some care providers. Like I had this one, you've been in the system for a while. I don't know if you remember Gay Rodkey. One time she was like literally laying outside the room on like a yoga mat. It was in remember when we actually had a birth center? Underneath. So, okay. So some care providers were more involved, but from my experience, not as involved as I saw midwives. So it was a quick learning curve. So let's talk about a typical midwifery involvement during labor and birth.
So I was biting my tongue as you were speaking because Sylvie is one of my mentors.
And is she?
She's one of my former bosses, actually. She gave me, she took a chance on me as a young midwife to join her practice at Midwifery of Manhattan.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, we
she's special.
By her. Yeah, her work is incredible. She is special. And that's a hilarious anecdote about Dr. Rodkey. I mean, birth workers have the best stories, right? It's just no end. You can pull anything out of the bag. But I think, you know, midwives are, there is a wide range, and you're right to think of it in that way, of different practice models across, certainly across New York City, and definitely, you know, when you look nationally at how midwives operate in terms of either being full scope, right? Meaning that we provide antepartum care in the prenatal space, we're on call for your birth and, you know, take care of you in the postpartum space. That is sort of the ideal model, right? But not all practices have that. Like some practices, midwives are only integrated into labor and delivery only, right? Or outpatient only, right? So there's lots of different ways that midwives are integrated into the healthcare systems in the hospital settings. But I think the way to think about it, you know, within a typical labor and delivery experience is that, you know, midwives are your advocates within the system, right? And so they are able to, we kind of think about it at Oola as like, we help our patients navigate this massive entity that is a hospital system, right? And so we're like your teammate. We are there to help explain protocols or systems or help to advocate for your preferences within that system. But we're also, you know, storytellers about your birth, right? We have to document everything that happens and make clinical decisions about your care and about the management of your labor and birth. And those parts of the work bring us outside of the physical room sometimes, right? And this is where I think people often ask me, like, do I need a doula if I'm working with a midwife, right? And I think that, it's, while if you look at ancient drawings of birth, it's like the birthing person with a midwife and a doula. Like, we've always been aligned on, like, the patient is at the center of this experience with the same goals, sort of as our North Star, but we have different roles and responsibilities within how we get there, right? How we get to that safe birth experience. And so, midwives get pulled out of the room for a variety of different reasons, whether it's hospital related or taking care of more than one patient in labor, right? But having your doula with you who is dedicated to that, that continuous emotional, physical, and educational support space where they're not leaving the room. They're providing that support within the room the entire time. That is unique and really powerful. And so we work so beautifully with doulas. We rely on doulas to be able to provide that level of care. But our role is different in that way. So, I think it's important to talk about that, those similarities and also those distinctions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So say someone's listening to this and they're thinking, okay, I may want to explore midwifery care because they may see the value in that. I hope they do. Who would be a good candidate to work with a midwife?
There's a really wide range of how to answer that question. We kind of have a saying, everyone deserves a midwife and some people need an OB too. And I think, if you look around the world at other developed countries that have midwifery as kind of, the standard approach to the perinatal space, people enter care with midwifery, right? It's an assumption, again, of that, back to like the philosophy of like, this is a normal life event. Until it's not, right? Until there's a medical a condition or something that needs to be explored. I think, for most people, it's always important to reach out to individual practitioners and, first of all, like, really have a good sense of your own health history. I always think, like, the preconception phase is, it's such a unique opportunity to kind of, like, think about what does radical self-care mean for you, right? And part of that could be just, like, really learning about like who you are, what you've lived through and what your experience has been leading you up to that space. Because sometimes we come to a first prenatal visit and we don't even really know our full health history. We've never really asked some of those questions to previous care providers or followed up on a diagnosis we might have heard or floated, right? So, we're going to be launching preconception care at ULA this year, which we're really, really excited about. And to me, wow, we can help people figure out like what would be the best fit for you in terms of the health history that you bring to your prenatal experience, because it's not separate, right? It's all your lived experience that you're bringing into that. So, I think, I mentioned that we are experts in low risk care. And so if you have, like, for example, you take regular medication, or you have a complex surgical history, specifically abdominal surgery that might impact, your uterine space, or you've been, you're being followed by a specialist for a medical condition. Those are things that would be things you'd want to investigate more and learn more about as you think about if midwifery would be the right fit for you. Because while midwives work in a collaborative space with complex medical conditions, we might not be the best like primary care provider for someone who has a complex health history coming in, because we need to either co-manage the whole experience or transfer your care to a specialist, a perinatologist, also referred to as an MFM. You'll see those terms, maternal fetal medicine provider, same thing. Basically, it's an OBGYN who's an expert in high-risk medical conditions. Versus working with a traditional OB. it's part of why our model has evolved at Ula, is that we want to be able to bring midwifery to more people. And so as we grow our practice, we're expanding our OB program so that we'll be able to really eliminate those barriers of kind of risk criteria and just say, everybody deserves a midwife. Come in, meet with our midwives, and we'll talk about if you would best be served kind of staying on a midwifery path or and working collaboratively with our OBs, or, you know, having midwives kind of as touch points throughout your journey, but having OBs have a little bit of a closer touch in your care. And the experience might be different prenatally versus on labor and delivery, right? Because things that evolve that are more medical or more complex can evolve in both spaces, both during prenatal labor and delivery, and also even in the postpartum space. But midwives are trained to be that primary care provider in many, many situations, majority.
No, that's great to hear. I was actually talking about midwifery to one of my students. She was sharing she wasn't totally thrilled with her current provider. And I always say, you know, that's not probably going to improve. You know, communication might help, but did she consider, you know, some other care providers? And I was just mentioning some midwives, and I mentioned Ula, and she's like, well, I'm 35, so I'm a high risk. I'm risked out of having a midwife. And I said, I don't believe you are.
I hate that one.
I know. I was 37.
It's like if you Googled it, you see that you're like labeled like elderly. And
I know. I was. I had that.
Not a thing.
I was 37 with my first and 40 with my second. And I had a midwife for both of them. And I was sharing this with her. And she, like, her face just changed. She's like, really? I just thought I couldn't because I'm high risk. And I said, look into it. You know, just take another step. So I have to follow up.
No one condition or label defines who we are coming into our pregnancy experience, you know? And so we always tell people, go ahead and like fill out our intake form. Tell again, like understand more about where you're coming from and share that with us. And we can help navigate that with you. Because I think there's so much misconception out there about labeling and sort of like the eagerness of like the system to label us, right? When we're complex people. And it doesn't always fit. We don't always fit into a box in that way. So yeah, I 35 is average.
Especially New York.
Average New Yorker experience. If you had, you know, a previous cesarean birth and you would like to try for a VBAC, you know, a trial of labor after cesarean, TOLAC, I think collaborative care that is midwifery driven is perfect for those situations, because we can center the normalcy of the experience of this new labor experience and also have that safety net of collaborating with an OB who's there in case we need surgical support, you know? So it's like best of both worlds in a lot of those situations.
I think collaborative care is honestly, it's such a great example, I think that listeners know this. I had two home births, but I was in a really special situation that because I had such a great relationship with my OB, he was my backup in case I had to go in. He and my midwife were communicating during my first labor because it was so long. And, you know, he was ready to meet me at the hospital if I had to go. Like, collaborative care can really give you the best of both worlds. So I wish that was more the standard instead of, you know, one has to stand alone. I love that idea of the collaborative care, but let's go into a little bit about misconceptions, because again, we talked about people, you explained what a midwife is. You talked a bit about midwifery. So what do you think the biggest misconception is around the care given by a midwife, as well as the qualifications? I think this was something I saw online where someone put midwives in quotes. I'm like, no, it's a real thing. You really do need it's not just something you can like do an online course.
Yes, exactly. I love this because I think there's that misconception of exactly how you just described that midwives are sort of witchcraft, right? Fringe rogue providers that don't have any clinical training, that are doulas who are just like forgot their scope, right? And are overstepping into, you know, operating without medical guidelines or protocols. And, you know, we are regulated in the same way that any advanced practice clinical provider is. I think, you know, so I think there's that sort of like that binary sense of like, okay, you're either yes, I've heard there's midwives on labor and delivery, but most midwives are, you know, it's home birth or labor and delivery, right? But it's like most people think that midwifery is happening at home. And in reality, that's actually only about 1-2% of birth in the United States is home birth. And those home birth midwives are doing an amazing job to actually keep their clinical outcomes excellent. They have clear protocols and practice guidelines. And that model is safest when they have that collaboration with an OB, by the way. But it's still such a small portion of how midwives work in the US. And yet that's overwhelmingly how people perceive midwifery in this country. So I think that is a huge barrier that we need to overcome in terms of people understanding that, you know, more than 90% of midwives are attending birth in a standard hospital unit on labor and delivery, where guess what? We have to have, you know, every document checked and double checked and every license up to date and every safety training and protocol is followed. So we're operating in the same guidelines, you know, as any standard OBGYN in that way, with the same expectations of clinical quality. And that is majority of where we are attending birth. Of course, there's also the birth center model. But majority of birth that is midwifery attended is happening on a labor and delivery unit in this country.
So let's actually talk a little bit about those different locations and how, I don't know if it's necessarily the I wouldn't say the care perhaps, but yeah, I guess actually even, let me think, how do I want to word this? I've attended births in a birth center, L&D, and home births, and the care is always stellar, but there seems to be a little bit more spaciousness I've noticed in home births and in birth centers. So can you explain a little bit about the different practice locations and what one may expect about how a midwife can support them in those spaces?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, one of the things that really impacts the patient experience in terms of how you access your midwife and the relationship that you have with your midwife is related to this actual location of where you're giving birth. And one of the reasons that it's so different is often just the actual, some of it is the protocols of that birthing location, but also it's the number of patients that the midwife is taking care of, right? So most home birth midwives have a much lower volume of patients that they care for each month to allow for them to really have this one-to-one space where they are the solo provider who's with their patient throughout the entire labor course, which, as you mentioned, can go on for days. I know lots of your listeners know that personally. And so that midwife, you know, doesn't have another patient at the same time. Of course, they do sometimes. And so that's why we work with backup midwives or in partnerships so that we can be there for all of our patients. But, you know, they might take care of three patients a month, or maybe it's 6 or 8, right? Whereas a busy labor and delivery unit, we might be taking care of 50 patients a month, right? Very different in terms of just how much time you have with your provider in that way. I think that, you know, for home birth, one of the things most people who choose home birth, in my experience, are so passionate about the normal physiology of the underlying experience that is where they lean into. And they know, you know what? Yes, there might be about a 10% chance that my labor transfers to the hospital. It's usually not in an emergency situation. It's usually just because the labor went on a really long time, right? And we just kind of decide that it's time to kind of think about other ways to help support the labor move forward. But that's a risk that patient is willing to take on to center the overwhelming majority of the cases where you would have your baby at home and have that sort of luxury of more time, more spaciousness, and more connectivity with your individual provider in that way. But I think, you know, birth centers are a wonderful kind of middle ground. I, as somebody who has worked at two in-hospital birth centers in New York City, both of which have closed, which I always joke, not because I wasn't following the protocols, but just because of the birth landscape here in New York City.
Yeah.
It's not for lack of patient interest in this. I actually found, I worked at the, I mentioned the Bellevue Birth Center. I also worked at the birth center at when it was Roosevelt prior to Mount Sinai West. And, you know, patients really felt like, wow, this is the best of both worlds, right? Like I have this ability to really center a normal physiologic experience that feels home-like, but with all the safety parameters right there in case. So those scenarios where I might have had to transfer or where I might have changed my mind and decided I wanted medication to support, kind of manage my pain and labor, you know, that those things would be available to me so that I don't have to choose one or the other, right? That binary of like home versus hospital, but where I can kind of have all things available to me. And I think that's such a beautiful model that, you know, we're really working hard now that ULA is at Mount Sinai West and our partnership is so strong right now. We're really working to bring that type of experience back. We always say like, if these walls could speak, because there's so much history in that institution of this type of experience. And so we're working on rebuilding that on labor and delivery with our midwives today. And it's really exciting for me to kind of see that happen sort of full circle in a way with a new project that's really centering collaborative care. So I think, you know, birth centers can be in hospital and they can also be freestanding outside of the hospital. And freestanding birth centers often have the ability to have like that really tight network with where they would refer patients if you needed to transfer. So having that transfer question kind of clear when you're choosing your location can be really helpful for patients. And then when you think about labor and delivery, you know, I think about it as like building your birth team. So again, I mentioned like doulas really working with you to help you navigate that experience is so critical. And I've seen over the course of my career, you know, some hospitals have doula programs as part of the actual hospital experience. I would love to see that expanded. In the meantime, you know, we really work with all of our patients to make sure that all our patients who want to work with a doula are able to, regardless of ability to pay. And I think that, you know, thinking about your team, right? Your midwife as your advocate within the system, your doula as your advocate right there next to you the entire time, having that, you know, continuity, that's what helps people to feel a sense of empowerment and autonomy. You know, I know I'm sure you've read those the Listening to Mothers surveys,
yes.
You know, over
yep.
the years. And it's just like, this is the theme we come back to is that patients know themselves. They are the experts in themselves. Spoiler alert, right? It's not like that innovative, but it's like, you know, what's going to be best for you and what you need. So our job is to listen to you, to, you know, make sure you have all the medical information that you need to understand the risks, benefits, and alternatives of decision-making, so that you can really have what we refer to as informed consent or informed refusal, right? I understand the situation and I can decide my path. And when you understand those twists and turns in your labor, whether it's home, birth center, or labor and delivery, that is when you look back on that, you understand why you chose path A, right? Even if it wasn't 100% what you envisioned or wrote on your birth plan, it's like, you know why you took that path and that's authentic to you. And I think that's what really helps protect us from a lot of birth trauma and the not understanding why things went away that they did is what causes a lot of suffering, I think.
Well, it's interesting you brought up the Listening to Mothers because I do remember, I've read that many times. In fact, there's several versions of it. But I remember.
Exactly, yeah.
I remember the latest one, which came out a bit ago, actually said that the education that people get
before their birth and choosing their team can be the key difference between birth trauma and having a birth that didn't go your way, like how you had envisioned, but still feeling empowered after. It's the education and being able to be part of the decision-making as opposed to just kind of dragged through. I don't remember the percentage that they talked about, but it was really significant about
It's such a great point. And it reminds me of what you said early on when we started this conversation about, you know, choosing a provider based on like a name feeling comforting. And, and it's like, you know, I think like most people spend more time thinking about a car to buy or a refrigerator, you know, in this country than really, you know, researching the different options that are available to them. And I don't blame patients for this. It is impossible to navigate, you know, when you find out you're pregnant, even if it was a planned pregnancy. But what if it was unplanned, right? It's like, you don't know where to turn. And it's this extreme, we know that the psychology of getting that positive pregnancy test is just intense vulnerability and ambiguity about what does this mean for everything. You know, and most people either have like, you know, if they're lucky, they had healthcare, you know, to begin mm-hmm. with, where you had a GYN provider that you could even turn to. But then I think you were mentioning like how sometimes people get to the second or third trimester and they look around and they're like, wait, there's going to be a birth at the end of this. And this is not aligned with what I had in mind, you know? Yeah. And so how can we help people get informed in the preconception phase about what their options are, right? And in early pregnancy to kind of get tapped into, again, like debunking myths about midwifery or understanding how to access alternative birth settings or what is collaborative care, right? I mean, so many patients are coming to ULA. Of course, a lot of people come to us because they're looking for midwifery care in network covered by insurance, which is pretty innovative in the New York City landscape, wildly. But also people are coming to us because they're just looking for something different. It's like the standard of care, these 7 minutes visits you mentioned, you know, having to choose between a midwife and an OB, like that binary decision, that is not getting it done, you know, for birthing people in America. And so that's what we're trying to build is a collaborative space where you can just come as you are, and we're not going to judge your preferences. You want an epidural? Great. You want to have an unmedicated labor and be in the shower? Awesome. You know, and things change and evolve in the course of your pregnancy and your birth. And if you have all the experts on your team, then we can really help personalize that to be as satisfying as possible for you.
Oh, I love what you're saying. And we're going to get a little bit more into ULA because we've mentioned it many times and there might be some listeners outside of New York being like, what is this? We're going to definitely get into explaining that in a moment. We're going to take a break and let's actually jump into that on when we come back from our break about what is ULA, because we've mentioned it probably like five or six of that more times.
I'm very passionate about our project.
No, I think it's a great project. So let's take a break. And when we come back, let's talk about what ULA is. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. So let's just open that. What we've talked about ULA, we've talked about collaborative care. And for those in New York, again, I hope it's not just going to be something in New York, but it can be the landscape or the blueprint for how we can really see birth throughout the country or world. In fact, it is parts of other parts of the world, collaborative care. It's not unique to other places, just the US. So what is ULA? How does it incorporate collaborative care?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as somebody who has worked, I always joke that I was born and raised as a midwife in New York City. I'm not from here originally, but I came here for midwifery school and I've worked in public health and private practice in several different practice models. And just knowing all the midwives who inspire me and work in so many different types of practice models, we've seen just so many barriers to bringing this model of care to more people. And I think that is what excited me so much about ULA and about what we're building is that this is something really different that we haven't seen. Not the core concept, as you said, collaborative care is universal, right? Midwifery is the oldest profession. This is not a new idea that midwives would attend birth for a majority of people in America. But what Ula's trying to do is to kind of bring midwifery more to the mainstream. And so we're meeting patients where they're at. And collaborative care is the way to do that because, like I mentioned, we'll be able to take more patients with more complex risk factors, which the reality of where health culture is moving is that people have more complex health history coming into pregnancy now than we did in the past. And so by building a practice model where we can meet patients where they're at, as I was kind of describing, that is the way we're going to actually be able to bring midwifery to more people across the country. And while I am a huge advocate for, just patient autonomy about the birthing location that feels safest to you, the reality is that most patients are accessing healthcare through mainstream hospital systems. And so when I joined ULA, I very much took that on that I'm going to be working within these health systems to improve the experience for patients there because I want to meet patients where they're at. And so what that looks like practically is that patients enter their care with a midwife at ULA. So I kind of described like how you enter care with a virtual visit. You will be greeted by one of our awesome midwives. And we chat with you about not just like a typical intake form, we do that, but also like, what are you looking for out of your birth experience to help make sure that our practice model is the right fit for you, right? And then, you'll have the opportunity to meet with one of our OBs during your prenatal care. And I think there's just something reassuring about that, right? Like you were describing how just knowing that even, with a planned home birth that your OB was kind of in the background, you might not ever need to call them, right? But just knowing that they're there for complex decision-making with our midwifery team or to step in and actually make a clinical decision, right? Or to actually directly manage the care at certain points, like in the event of needing a surgical birth. Having that safety net in place really allows our midwives to have full practice authority and also our patients to just feel that reassurance and kind of that concept of this team working together, everybody working to their top of their licensure, to the best of their expertise, coming together to bring all of their skills to you because you deserve that. You deserve the best of all of it is kind of how we're thinking about what we're building. And we want to take this across the country. It's an ambitious group of people over here at ULA. And birth is different, right? Like we're chatting from New York City. And this is, for all the birth workers and birthing people listening today, like we know New York is unique in that way, right? And we don't have enough options here in the city. And we're working to change that. But we also want to think really broadly about like how, as this grows, how it can be really impactful in terms of addressing birth equity and the maternal mortality crisis by bringing evidence-based care to more people.
I love that you have the bigger view of taking this beyond New York because I love the idea of the collaborative care and your approach. As we wrap up, what is one final tip or piece of advice you would like to offer new and expectant parents?
That is such a great question. I think that, we touched on kind of really educating yourself about your options early on, even before you're thinking of getting pregnant, I think is so, so helpful. But I would sort of, since most people aren't listening today, that would really touch them in that phase of their life, because it's such a unique space. I would sort of pivot that to thinking about postpartum. I'm really, really passionate about how this model of care, thinking about birth as the beginning of the rest of your life. As a parent of three kids myself, it never ends. And you know that well. It's like, spending time in your third trimester. Yes, you want to think about your birth experience. You want to communicate and build your birth team, build your labor toolkit for a successful experience. But birth is the foundation for your parenthood journey, which never ends. And so invest that time in your third trimester in thinking about building your postpartum plan. So what that looks like for your mental health, your family health, what are the resources and support that you need to set up to create that village for yourself? Because that is a challenge in American culture, certainly here in New York City. Lots of barriers to kind of building that experience. And I think it is so overlooked. And just so critical. So don't forget that a baby is coming and that it shouldn't be an afterthought. It should be the thing that you kind of really dig into thinking about in the third trimester. And that will really set you up for both if you have a partner, that relationship transition, working with your partner. And if you're doing this on your own, like who are the support people? What does my village look like? Building those relationships, and partnerships. Because we can't do this alone. It doesn't happen in a vacuum, and we need community.
Really, really good advice. I absolutely believe that. I support that. We talk about that a lot at Prenatal Yoga Center. It's not just the birth. That's the part that will come and go in a day or so.
Yes.
The postpartum.
Or a couple days.
Yeah, exactly. So where can people find you, your work? How can they find Ula? Where is all that?
Yes, absolutely. So you can find me on Instagram at Midwife Casey. And you can follow everything that we're building at Ula, which I am a huge part of, at Ula Health on Instagram. And our website is ulahealth.com. And, but we're pretty active on Instagram. We're also on TikTok. So I'm not personally, I've aged out of that, but, anyone listening can check us out on TikTok as well.
This has been so great. I mean, I am a bit biased. I'll put it out there. I really support midwifery care. Because I think, like, again, it's all encompassing and really supportive. So thank you for sharing all this great knowledge, all this great support and advice. I really appreciate it.
It's really my pleasure. I know we've been wanting to chat for a long time, so I'm so glad we were able to make this happen. And I'm just so passionate about this topic and could speak about what is a midwife forever. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to carve out an hour to just chit chat about it.
Thank you.
This has been an episode of Yoga Birth Babies, produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Thanks for listening.